Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. This is Steven Jensen. Today it is Saturday, February the 2nd, 2019. Thanks for joining me again today on today's episode. And I'm going to go down the list of topics and we will jump right into it. We're going to be talking New Japan, NJPW, their new beginning results from the shows that happened in the U.S. They had a show in Los Angeles, as well as Charlotte, North Carolina. And they have a show tonight in Nashville, Tennessee. I will not be attending. I'll be covering UFC Fortaleza, actually, at the time of the show, so won't be watching it, but I will be running down the card and letting you know what to expect if you happen to be going tonight, or if you'll be watching the show or getting the results later on. I'll also be going through the results of the Impact TV show that happened last night on Twitch. I'll be going through the ROH TV results from last week's show from January the 25th. I'll be running down all the spoilers from the NXT tapings. So all those results, I'm going to be going through them. Spoiler alert, I'll give you another spoiler alert before we actually go through the results, but we'll be talking about those on today's episode. And I'll also be going through the latest Being the Elite, BTE, the new episode called How Dare You Defy Me. So we're going to be talking about all that today on the Fightful Weekender. And before we get started, I always want to let you guys know about some stuff to watch online. So the show to watch this week on independentwrestling.tv is Southern Underground Pro, I Am King. So the company is called Southern Underground Pro, also known as SUP, S-U-P, and the show is called I Am King. The main event is Brett Eisen versus Nick Gage for the SUP Bone Storm Championship, which is the equivalent of the heavyweight championship for SUP. It was a great match. It was a great show. I was actually there live. It was here in Nashville at the Basement East. It's kind of like my home base promotion, if you will. So, of course, I'm going to give them a shout out on today's episode. And not just because I love the guys and I love the shows, but because, I mean, this show is fantastic. And if you're a fan of independent pro wrestling, you'll definitely enjoy this. So I'm going to go through the show right now, let you know what to expect. I'm not going to give you the winners and the losers in the matches. I want you to watch the show, of course. But if you tune in, once again, this is on independentwrestling.tv. This is the card. We have the production, the team of Eddie Only and Derek Direction, taking on the newly formed team of Cabana Mance Dan. That comprises of Cabana Man Dan and Mance Warner. So a tag team match between the production and Cabana Man Dan and Mance Warner. We also have Graham Bell versus Gary J versus JV Jaden Newman versus Steve Manders versus Joshua Bishop versus Danny Adams in a scramble match. That was a lot of fun as well. Graham Bell, I'm going to give him a shout out real quick. I have never seen a man come to the ring with a bazooka before, and he's the first one I've seen do that. Dude was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, everyone on the show I'm a huge fan of. I love all these guys and girls that are involved, but that was something new. When you can bring something new to the table like that, it definitely catches my attention. We also have Stokely Hathaway versus Mr. Brickster. Really fun match. We have Alley Cat versus Savannah Stone. Great women's match on the show. We have the team of Sad Comp, which is Dominic Guarini and Kevin Koo, taking on the Jollyville Fuckets, the team of Nasty Russ and T-Money, also known as the Boys from Jollyville. Great match. And this was part of the SUP Tag Team Title Tournament. They're in the process of creating and crowning their first ever tag team champions. So Sad Comp versus the Jollyville Fuckets goes down on this show, I Am King. We also have Daniel C. Rockingham, Dr. Dan, taking on O'Shea Edwards. If you don't know about Dr. Dan, I recommend you get familiar soon. I didn't know a whole lot about him, and I've seen him at a couple SUP shows, but he's very entertaining, and O'Shea Edwards is somebody that I honestly think has everything it's going to take to get him to whatever level he wants to go in professional wrestling. He has the size, the athleticism, the look. He creates a great reaction with the crowd, great connection with the crowd, I should say, as well. So great stuff, really great stuff. Kind of a short one. I'll just leave it at that. We also have Craig Mitchell versus Stab. Stab, being a masked wrestler, looks very similar to the Killer in Scream. And Craig Mitchell has been getting attacked and kind of harassed by this dude for a little while now. So see what happens there between Craig Mitchell and Stab. We have Teddy King versus Warhorse Jake Parnell. That's another great matchup. And I want to give a shout out to Teddy King. I actually just saw on Facebook yesterday that he announced after 5 years of wrestling, he is hanging up his boots, which, you know, that bums me out because I'm a big fan of the guy and he has a lot of potential. But I do know he's newly engaged, and I think that maybe, and I don't think, I'm not saying anything like his wife is making him not wrestle, nothing like that, but I'm assuming he's got some new responsibilities and maybe he has some opportunities outside of professional wrestling that are maybe better for him and his family. So I can't fault the guy for that, but selfishly, I want to see him continue to wrestle. So hopefully he can kind of get wherever he needs to be, and maybe he makes a return. But Teddy King and Jake Parnell have a great match on I Am King, so definitely check this out. And especially if you're a fan of Teddy King, if he, in fact, leaves professional wrestling, this is one of your last chances to actually watch him perform. And in the main event of the evening, we have the match I talked about when I was leading into the show, Bret Eisen versus Nick Gage for the Bone Storm Championship. This one speaks for itself. Anyone familiar with Nick Gage, you know what Nick Gage is about. I mean, murder, death, kill gang. I almost said kill and death in one word there. Murder, death, kill gang. There you go. Nick Gage, the Game Changer Wrestling champion, the first ever CZW champion. So that should tell you enough right there. First ever CZW champion. He's still doing it. And for those of you unaware, Nick Gage actually was involved in a bank robbery and served legitimate time. I mean, years away from professional wrestling, you know, serving time in jail. So this guy's as legitimate as it gets. Also very well known recently for his match with David Arquette that went viral for all of the wrong reasons. But and you have Bret Eisen, the you know, heavyweight champion, the man, our champion here at SUP, defending the Bone Storm Championship against the guy that I know he considers to be one of his heroes. So great stuff, great show top to bottom. And once again, I can't recommend it enough. Check it out. Check out their whole catalog of events. They have all of their shows up on independentwrestling.tv. Once again, that is Southern Underground Pro, SUP Graps, I Am King on IWTV. Now I want to give you guys a free match to check out on YouTube. Always want to do that also. The match that I have chosen for you guys to watch is a Ring of Honor Throwback Thursday that they put up a while back. They put this up actually back in 2017. But the match is from Final Battle 2004. It's the Ring of Honor World Championship title match between Austin Aries and Samoa Joe. So if you want to see a really great match with a really great ending where fans are super invested, check this one out. Samoa Joe is in the midst of a legendary championship run in Ring of Honor. Austin Aries was an up-and-comer, part of a tag team with Roderick Strong at the time. And this is just amazing stuff. I'm assuming most of you know what happens in this one because, once again, it happened back in 2004. But I won't ruin it for anybody who's new. So check that one out, too. That's for free on YouTube on Ring of Honor's YouTube channel. The match is Samoa Joe versus Austin Aries. It is for the ROH World Championship, and it happened at Final Battle 2004. All right, now into the actual topics for today on the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I am going to give you the results for the New Japan show that happened in Los Angeles. They've been running shows in Japan as well, you know, running parallel to these, but I'm going to go over just the U.S. show, U.S. results on this show. These results are actually brought to you by Fightful.com, so definitely make sure to check out the website itself, Fightful.com. Get your results, get your updates, get your news, a lot of exclusives, a lot of great stuff, podcasts, a ton of great stuff over there at Fightful.com, and that's where I'm getting a lot of these results from. So let's go through these right now. We had, this is the New Japan show that happened in Los Angeles. This was on the 31st of January. Alex Coughlin fights to a draw against Clark Connors. Jonathan Grisham defeats Tyler Bateman. Colt Cabana defeats Shane Taylor. Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer defeat Brody King and Marty Scurll. Jeff Cobb defeats Carl Fredericks. In a no DQ match, David Finley defeats Chucky T, aka Chuck Taylor. And in the main event of the evening, Tracy Williams and Juice Robinson defeat Rocky Romero and Trent Barretta. So Roppongi 3K. Great stuff. I mean, as far as, you know, the best they can really do with the situation. And so for those of you who don't know, there was a kind of a backlash from fans in regards to the American New Japan shows, this little tour that they're doing, in LA, Charlotte, and Nashville. And before I get into the next show, the next results for the Charlotte show, I'll just kind of explain that for those of you who might not be aware. Essentially, a lot of fans, including myself, to be honest, you know, I was on the fence about attending the show, but once again, ultimately, I'll be covering the UFC anyways. But I have a lot of friends here in Nashville that are going to the show. And they, New Japan didn't release the card for the shows until like a week or so ago. Like it was really recent and people were getting kind of worried about it. Like I was talking to, you know, buddies of mine who were in that scene, you know, and they were telling me like, yeah, I think the shows are going to be cool. But like the names that they wanted to see were guys that, you know, were Japanese performers for the most part, guys you don't really get a chance to see around this part of the U.S. You know what I mean? So it was one of those things where essentially New Japan stalled in saying what the cards were going to be, but we come to find out that it was actually visa issues with a lot of the, you know, performers over there. So they were unable to get visas to come here in time. So New Japan's basically making do with like a mixture of Ring of Honor and independent talent to put these shows together. So I do know a lot of fans that were upset with that, fans that I know personally bought tickets to these shows. So it's good to see that they had, you know, a good outing and these are, you know, they're putting good performers on the show, but it isn't, it's almost like a Sam Roberts would say, you know, it's like, you know, is this New Japan worthy? Like if I bought a ticket to a New Japan show, these are not the names I would be expecting to see for the most part on these shows. That being said, the shows themselves seem to have gone very well. And I actually talked to some people that attended the show in Charlotte yesterday, just through DMs and Twitter. And they said the show was a lot of fun. So I don't think anyone's necessarily complaining, but it's one of those things. And I do know that they saw Shibata live. Like he didn't wrestle, of course, but it was cool that he was there. So, you know, I just want to get that out of the way too. So anybody who might be wondering, you know, you're listening to these results going, New Japan, I haven't heard of any of these guys. Like this isn't Tetsuya Naito. This isn't, you know, Tanahashi or, you know, even like Bullet Club guys or, you know, they're, you know, so just keep that in mind while we go through these. So going with that being said, going forward, the next show happened in Charlotte. That was actually last night. Carl Fredericks and Clark Connors fight to a time limit draw. Colt Cabana and John Skyler defeat Lance Archer and Shane Taylor. Oka defeats Tracer X. Brody King and Marty Scurll defeat Jeff Cobb and Jonathan Grisham. We have Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeating Alex Coughlin. The team of Lifeblood, Hot Sauce Tracy Williams and David Finley, defeating Rocky Romero and Chucky T. Once again, not Roppongi 3K, but almost, because, you know, they have kind of that three-way kind of friendship of Romero, Chucky T, and Beretta. And in the main event, IWGP U.S. Championship on the line, Juice Robinson retains over Trent Beretta. So that was last night, and then tonight there's going to be a show in Nashville. I'm just going to run down the card real quick. This will be taking place at the War Memorial Auditorium, and this is started off with Carl Fredericks versus Alex Coughlin. Looks like they're another 10-minute time limit match, and I'm assuming so hopefully someone gets to win in that one because it looks like they fought to two draws over the span of the last couple nights. Up next, we have Jonathan Gresham and Colt Cabana versus Shane Taylor and Lance Archer. We have Harlem Bravado versus Great O Karn. We have a 30-minute time limit special singles match. We have Clark Connors versus Marty Scurll. We have Jeff Cobb versus Brody King. And in the main event, we have a 60-minute time limit, 3-on-3, six-man tag match. We have Tracy Williams, David Finley, and Juice Robinson of Lifeblood taking on Rocky Romero, Chucky T, and Beretta, basically the best friends / Roppongi 3K combination I was just kind of referring to. So that's what's going on with New Japan in the United States. And let's move on next to the Impact results. This show happened yesterday on Twitch, and it was kicked off with the Lucha Brothers and Taurus defeating LAX and Daga. The Lucha Brothers hit Ortiz with the Fear Factor. After the match, the Lucha Brothers demand a rematch for the Impact World Tag Team titles. We go to commercial, and we wind up getting a flashback when we come back. Soo Young hitting the panic switch off the stage on Rosemary and put her into a casket. They announce that the next Impact Wrestling pay-per-view is going to be called Rebellion, and it's announced for April the 29th. I believe I saw that was going to be taking place in Canada. I want to say Toronto. I could be wrong, but I believe it's taking place in Toronto, Canada. Up next, we have Kira Hogan and Jordynne Grace defeating Soo Young and Allie. Kira hits Allie with the spinning fisherman's neck breaker to get the W. After that, we have Eli Drake and Eddie Edwards defeating the Rascals via pinfall. Eli Drake gets the win over Dez with the gravy train finisher. And after that, we get a recap of like Sami Callihan and Rich Swann and you know, the stuff going on with OVE. And that leads into a match between Psycho Clown and Fall Abba. Psycho Clown defeats Fall Abba via pinfall with a variation of a backslide. After that, we have the main event of the evening, which is Moose and Killer Cross defeating Johnny Impact and Brian Cage. Moose pins Johnny Impact with a spear. This was after Johnny accidentally hits Brian Cage, so Moose winds up getting the win with the spear. So it was due to some miscommunication, but Moose getting the pin over the Impact World Champion probably means a lot, kind of with the scenario going on with you know Johnny Impact, of course, being the champion, Brian Cage working his way the best that he can to get back into a title match because he feels like he still deserves one for a lot of different reasons. Killer Cross has been looking very good against Impact and actually defeated him in a match not too long ago. And Moose getting the pin on Impact, it kind of like convolutes the whole thing. Maybe they're working towards like a Fatal 4-Way type match or like a 4-Way elimination, something like that. But I feel like all four of these guys at this point are basically the four contenders vying for the world championship at this point, you know, as far as the Impact Wrestling storylines are concerned. So you know, good stuff from Impact. They're continuing to stay this you know slow and steady path of you know change and doing it right, and they're making little adjustments to their presentation on Twitch. I like it. I mean, I can't have any complaints about what they're doing. I think that they just need to continue to do exactly what they're doing, continue to grow the brand, continue to make a larger and larger presence on Twitch, because I think that platform is just such a massive potential for them. And just keep on doing that. So that was Impact for this week. That will lead me into the results for the Ring of Honor TV show that happened last week. These are the results for January the 25th. The show starts with Juice Robinson defeating PJ Black via DQ. Black throws the ref into the ropes while Juice is on the top rope, which knocks him off. That causes the DQ. PJ attacks the ref after the match, and PJ trash talks with Nick Aldis, who's on commentary during the match. So NWA World's Champion Nick Aldis is there on commentary, and they announced that Aldis vs. Black will happen at their Atlanta show. Also worth mentioning, Nick Aldis being the NWA World's Champion, there was no new content this week on the NWA YouTube channel, so this is pretty much the most I'll be talking about the NWA on today's episode. Nick Aldis, of course, being entrenched in some storylines there in Ring of Honor, so we get NWA representation within the Ring of Honor universe. Up next on the show, we have an in-ring promo from Juice talking about what just happened in his match with PJ Black, talking about life, blood, restoring honor, and those kind of things. And then we see a backstage kind of pre-taped segment with Matt Taven and the Kingdom. After that, Shane Taylor squashes Mike Law. He gets the pin after a straight right hand, and then he hits a Rikishi driver to get the pinfall and cuts a promo after the match. Flip Gordon gets in the ring. He's getting interviewed by Colt Cabana. Says he's done dealing with Bully Ray and says his next mission is to cash in his shot at the ROH World Championship. Kenny King comes out, talks a whole bunch of trash, shows some doctored footage of him pinning Jay Lethal with his feet on the ropes, calls Flip Gordon a weekend warrior that was only brave enough to join the reserves, which is a pretty deep dig, essentially claiming that you know, Flip Gordon's army past is kind of a fraud because he just joined the reserves. He didn't really do anything, according, you know, to what Kenny King is saying. Up next, we have the Villain Enterprises. This is the main event of the show. making their debut in a three-on-three, six-man tag match against the Shinobi Shadow Squad. The PCO gets the pinfall victory for the team with a moonsault. They basically hit all their stuff. Like, Villain Enterprises gets all their stuff in. It was a lot of fun to watch. And it's just cool to see PCO still out there doing it and hitting moonsaults like he's, you know, half his age. So, good stuff. And a great debut match for the Villain Enterprises. They're going to have to be a very focused point of Impact or of Ring of Honor going forward. Like, they really need to build the company the best they can around Villain Enterprises. They have other great pieces in place at this point. Like, they're doing good things with Lifeblood. I love every member of that group. They're doing great things with, you know, the way that they're building other superstars, the way they've incorporated the NWA Championship and all those things. But I think their centerpiece for the time being should kind of be Villain Enterprises. They're kind of the most entertaining thing, in my opinion, on the show. Them and the Lifeblood. And eventually, I think that those two stables will cross paths in some way, shape, or form. And that will be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that. And the show actually ends this week with Bully Ray sitting by a fire. And he keeps pouring gasoline onto it, which is, you know, of course, making the flames go up and up and up. There's footage playing of Flip Gordon beating Bully Ray in their I Quit match. And Bully says, "I never said I quit." He repeats it a couple times. And the show fades out. So, hey, this was actually a really good show from Ring of Honor again this week. And I say actually like it's a surprise. All their stuff has actually been really, really good lately. It really has. I think similar to Impact, they just need to continue to do what they're doing. Continue to kind of have the mindset of slow and steady wins the race. And just continue, once again, to do what they're doing. Like, I just mentioned Lifeblood and Villain Enterprises and, you know, Flip Gordon and PJ Black and Nick Aldis. And there's Jonathan Gresham's involved. And, of course, Jay Lethal being the champion. I mean, they have so many good things going for them. So, I mean, Dalton Castle, I think he's still there, right? Dalton Castle? I didn't see him on the show this past week. But all that being said, I think it was great stuff from Ring of Honor. Another great episode. And they continue to put the pieces in place that they need to as far as losing all these guys from the Elite. You know, all these guys kind of all at one time leaving this kind of core star group of the company. They've done a very, very good job of plugging the holes there. So, good stuff from Ring of Honor. All right, up next we have the NXT spoilers. So, spoiler alert, spoiler, 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 spoiler. I'll be doing these for the next couple minutes, so maybe fast forward 2-3 minutes if you don't want to hear these. But I'm going to go through these real quick, just give you the winners and losers of these matches. And these are courtesy, once again, of Fightful.com, but they are by way of at Mr. Jacob Cohen on Twitter. So I want to give him his shout out. That's at Mr. Jacob Cohen. Mr. Jacob Cohen, MrJacobCohen, just to be very specific there. And he does spoilers for like everything. So if you're into spoilers, he's a great person to follow on Twitter. He'll actually be at the New Japan show here in Nashville tonight as well. So spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. Here we go. These are going to be the results for, you know, probably a handful of weeks for Impact Wrestling. And I know there's some big stuff in here. All right. We have Luke Menzies defeating Sean Maluda. Johnny Gargano comes out, says Johnny Wrestling is back. Tommaso Ciampa comes out to celebrate with Gargano. Gargano says he will never need Ciampa. Velveteen Dream comes out and says he wants a shot at Gargano in the North American title. Dream earned an NXT title shot of his choosing by winning the World's Collide Tournament. So spoiler alert there. Velveteen Dream wins the World's Collide Tournament. Up next, Jackson Ryker defeats Mansoor. The Forgotten Sons say they will take the NXT titles from the War Raiders. Next, Drew Gulak defeats Bugenhagen. I believe that's how it's... I hate admitting to being unfamiliar with wrestlers, but I've never seen that name before in my life. Bugenhagen? Is that even close? Let me know in the comments. Let me know here on Patreon or on Twitter, at @FightTalk_. Gulak calls out anyone from the back. Matt Riddle answers the challenge. Matt Riddle defeats Drew Gulak. The crowd really loves Bugenhagen, so he comes out to do an air guitar performance. I hope I'm not, like, totally butchering this dude's name. It sounds like the crowd loved him, but maybe it was, like, some squash or something. I don't know. I have no idea what's going on there. I'm actually interested to see. Up next, we have Io Shirai, Kairi Sane, and Bianca Belair defeating the Horsewomen, the team of Shayna Baszler, Jessamyn Duke, and Marina Shafir. Io pins Baszler. Johnny Gargano versus Velveteen Dream for the North American title will close the tapings, it says. I've said this on probably every episode of the Weekender because I've talked about Dijak fairly often. I hate this name change because it's so damn hard to say this name. Dominik Dijakovic. Or Dijakovic, I'm not sure because I haven't seen him on NXT TV yet. I think maybe once, but it might have been unmuted at the time. So I don't know if it's Dijakovic or Dijakovic. Either way, it's difficult to pronounce and I hate it. I don't know what was wrong with Donovan Dijak, or just Dijak would have been great, but hate this. And it's similar to like an MMA, if you're familiar with Mirko Krokop. His name is Mirko Filipovic, but it's spelled like Mirko Filipovic. So like, Krokop's just easier, but that's a whole other thing. My point being, I hate the name change. I hate it. Sorry, guys. I love the performer. Dijakovic is a tremendous in-ring performer. He was a basketball star before he got into professional wrestling. He's super athletic. One of my favorite matches I've seen live at any indie show ever was at Glory Pro. It was Dijakovic versus Mara Fuji. So I'm very, very big fan of this guy. I just wish they wouldn't have changed his name like this. He defeats Shane Thorne. Humberto Carrillo and Stacey Irvin Jr. come out for a tag match. Cassius Ohno comes out and quits the promotion. Keith Lee comes out and KOs Ohno. So I don't know how legitimate that is. Well, I guess not very, because he will have a match on this show. We'll get to that soon. The Street Profits defeat Carrillo and Irvin Jr. The Street Profits call out War Raiders, but instead Barthel and Fabian Aichner come out. Barthel and Fabian Aichner. Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch come out next. The War Raiders eventually come out, followed by the Undisputed Era. So things turn into a brawl with the War Raiders standing tall. Looks like a lot of tag teams are coming after the War Raiders, which is great. I love that. Interesting tag team title scene. A lot of good tag teams in there. The War Raiders are fantastic. Undisputed Era is fantastic. The rest of the teams do very, very well and rise to the occasion when they need to. So no complaints there. Aaliyah defeats Tainara Conti. Vanessa Bourne interfered in the match on behalf of Aaliyah. I still remember Aaliyah from that Breaking Ground series. She's come a really long way. And after the match, the Horsewomen come out and attack everybody. Ricochet defeats Adam Cole. The Undisputed Era attacks after the match, and Aleister Black tries to make the save, but also gets beaten up. Up next, we have Punishment Martinez defeating Riddick Mox. I'm having a hard time saying some words today. Riddick Moss. Good stuff there. I like that Punishment's getting a little bit of a push there, because that guy is another dude that the WWE, he's just made for the WWE. I mean, he has the size, the athleticism. He just needs more in-ring work, and the more experience he gets, the better he's going to get. So, great stuff. And Riddick Moss has been in NXT seemingly forever. I feel like he's been in since NXT started. So, I mean, good to see he's still there. But, I mean, hopefully they do something with him. I mean, I feel like he's been a great kind of trooper for them over the years. Keith Lee defeats Cassius Ohno up next. After that, Aleister Black defeats Roderick Strong. The Undisputed Era attack Black after the match, and Ricochet makes the save. Mia Yim defeats Xia Li. The Horsewomen attack after the match again, and other women come out from the back and try to make the save, but they all fail. And in the main event of these spoilers, the Velveteen Dream defeats Johnny Gargano to win the NXT North American title. Gargano attacks Dream after the bout and steals his belt back. Gargano and Ciampa pose together to end the tapings. So those are your NXT taping results for a little while, and I love it. Great stuff from NXT. I'm always very vested, very interested in what they're doing. And I'm interested to see what happens with Velveteen Dream being the NXT North American champion, but Johnny Gargano kind of, still holding the belt, and him and Ciampa teaming, but as singles wrestlers with individual goals. Very interested to see where that goes. All right, up next, we have Being the Elite. This will end today's episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. So we're going to go through this and we will get on out of here. So this episode was called How Dare You Defy Me? Starts off with the Young Bucks and Joey Ryan talking backstage. SCU's back there as well, but they seem uninterested. They're just counting money. Scorpio Sky had money like up to his ear like it was a phone. That was kind of funny. I've seen some rappers do that. We also see backstage Joey Ryan wants an AEW contract, but Matt Jackson says that he has a lifetime contract with Lucha Underground. Thought that was really funny. The Young Bucks are dropping clues at the airport as to where they're going to pop up at indie shows. They're dropping clues on Twitter. So for any of you who might be going to like an indie show in the near future, check the Young Bucks Twitter because they're randomly putting things out there to kind of give you clues as to where they're going to be popping up at these shows. After that, in a really funny segment, Cody covers a pic of Marty Scurll's face with a cutout picture of MJF's face. Cody and Brandy are talking. Brandy's like weirded out by the whole thing. Cody says that Marty's dead. Brandy doesn't approve of that and says that that's not true and she's been liking his tweets. And Cody thinks that Brandy's in denial, says that they have to move on. And he actually thinks that she might be jealous of MJF. Cody hangs up the picture of the two of them, and it's so funny because Cody hangs it up and he's by himself, and you just hear him talking to himself saying, just two awesome guys, just two cool guys, which I think is really, really hilarious. After that, we see Daniels with Scorpio Sky and Kaz. Daniels has a chipped tooth that he's trying to cover with his hand. Kaz and Sky are like, no, just show us, man. It's no big deal. And then they just roast the hell out of him. Joey Janela is trying construction and accidentally burns his face with a flame. So it looks like construction is not for him. He keeps failing at everything but pro wrestling. We'll see what he does next. After that, we see footage of the Young Bucks and Joey Ryan at the Defy show that they wound up going to from the airport. And the show concludes while Matt Jackson is talking to who's presumably Kenny Omega on the other end of the phone. He says, I can't believe people actually thought you were going to be there. Unbelievable. Referring to everyone thinking, or a lot of people thinking that Kenny Omega was going to pop up at the WWE Royal Rumble a couple days ago. Matt says that he's happy he found his phone and asks if they're good to go. And we see on the other end, once again, assuming it's Kenny Omega, we see the phone and we hear the countdown clock. It's ticking and the counter is 9 days away from when the episode dropped, meaning that that's coming up very, very, very soon within a matter of days that we're going to know what's going on with Kenny Omega, hopefully. So that was another great episode of Being the Elite. I especially love the Cody and MJF stuff that they're doing. And that's going to do it for today's episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. Thank you very much for listening, guys. If you want to check me out on Twitter, my Twitter handle is @FightTalk_@FIGHTTALK_. I'll be back next week with the Fightful Weekender. Until then, you guys have a good one. Be safe and enjoy some professional wrestling.